hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues weekly broadcast on Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13 verse 11 to 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams, and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible, real testimony soundbites of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Around me, I see prophecies fulfilled. Signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere. Children, yeah, and at the midnight cry, we'll be going home when Jesus steps out.
A very good evening to our listeners. This is Spirit 88.3 FM. The program is Issues of Life. This is Eben. It's always a privilege to come your way. Saturday evenings from 8 to 10 p.m. And we thank God for tonight. And indeed, it's always a joy. I'm on this series of digital parenting. This is the third edition. And last week, I started talking about music and the dangers. And by the grace of God, tonight, I'm continuing. And we are going a little deeper with extra, both scientific and then from the spiritual angle, and the caution, the dangers for us to look out for and all that. And first, I'll start with the news. And this evening, I was talking to Pastor Roger, and we were chatting, and I was telling him that, you know, sometimes you start working on the news, and you just can't understand what is happening in the world, because I mean, it just doesn't make sense. Again, you read some of the news, you watch some of the news, and it's like, if we human beings are even wondering, then I wonder how God sees all this. You know, it's a bit serious the way things are going. Let me quickly get into the Bible for a start, and let me start from Genesis chapter 6. And this afternoon, around 6, I was around Asokwa Interchange, and I saw a big rainbow in the sky. And I was telling, I went to pick a car from the mechanic, and I was telling him that God is giving us a reminder again. In the midst of discussing LGBT in the country, he's reminding us, you know, it's unfortunate how the world is going, but as Christians, we should know and understand what is happening. So let me quickly read Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Let's ask ourselves one or two questions. "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the land, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented God that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." And then verse 12, this is, I read 6, 5 and 6, and then now let me read 6, verse 12. "And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth." You know, we are getting to this point where the imaginations of man is continually evil, just as it was in the days of Noah. You know, and Jesus said it, as in the days of Noah, you know. it's just we are seeing things which clearly now shows that human beings have gone beyond the level that we should have been, because we are now doing things which clearly it shows how demons are manipulating people at very high levels. Because the normal human being should not be doing the things that is being done now, should not be saying the things that are being said, should not be, you know, a whole lot is happening. And it's serious. Let me just finish off with verse 9, you know, chapter 9, Genesis chapter 9. And let me read from verse 12. And God said, "This is the token of the covenant which I have made between me and you, and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations." That means all generations, including our generation. God gave a sign. "I do set my bow in the cloud," which we call rainbow, "and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. It shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, like I saw this evening. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth." So you see, when we see the rainbow, God is using it to remind himself. I mean, he says when he sees it, he will remember the covenant he has with us on earth. But are we human beings seeing the rainbow and remembering what God did before the rainbow came? But the most insulting of it all is the LGBT community picks this rainbow and says that is their symbol of their lifestyle. So for them, I just don't know how God sees it, because what God is using as a covenant to, they have used it as their symbol. So they see the rainbow, the flag, they have their dresses, their everything rainbow. They see it every day as an insult to God. It's just the highest insult you can give to God, that you pick what he has used as a covenant between he, God, and man, and now men have taken that same symbol, the rainbow, and are using it to spite God and tell him that we don't care. We don't care about you. This is our lifestyle. It's very worrying. It's very worrying. And clearly, this world can't go on as it's going. It can't go on the way things are going. We should expect things to start happening in dramatic fashions. I mean, the news, events, and, you know, the disasters. Because, you see, God is still God. And for how long will some of these things go on? Things will start happening. You see, he would eventually do some things that will cause people to start remembering that there's God. Perhaps they've forgotten that there's God. Perhaps people now have familiarized themselves with nothing happening, so it's like, oh, God is dead. I mean, now there's no. When some major things start happening, as it started in some countries in the last few weeks, if you've been listening to the news I've been giving here and all, it will start causing people to start asking questions, and people will start remembering that there is a God that they should fear. Okay, so we thank God for tonight. Let me start this evening. I have this friend in the US. He said, rainbow. As for there in the US, it's even worse. It's like, it's all over. It's serious. The lifestyle is being pushed in front of you. And you see, and they are not the majority too. They are the minority. But you see, the power that they wield through the big technology companies and the media and the powerful politicians, so it makes it look like they are in control, sort of. But they are the minority. They are the minority. Anyway, let me get into the news. This week, there was a big earthquake, 8.2 in Alaska. Fortunately, it didn't cause distractions. Earlier, they issued a tsunami warning, but it was cancelled. And thank God for that. Then a few big ones, 6 point something in other places. And, you know, a lot is happening. You see, this week, I think yesterday, Pastor Roger, in the course of the day, we talk almost every day or every other day. We talk a lot. And he told me that one of the staff in his office where he works, during the break time or so, the lady came and it's like, "Hey, Uncle Roger, it's like, what is happening in the world?" Apparently, the lady has seen a compilation of, you know, global events, disasters, and major things happening on Instagram. And it's like, she watched it and it's like, "Oh, something is happening." So she came to ask, because she knows Pastor Roger is a pastor, so to ask clarification. And then Pastor Roger, of course, started, you know, these are opportunities we shouldn't miss. When people come with such questions and they raise discussions along those lines, then as a Christian, you take advantage and then you chip in what you have to chip in. And then, you see, so people are beginning to see that things are happening and are wondering and asking questions in their minds. What is coming upon the earth? What is coming? What is happening? Because, you see, it's not just one thing happening in America, in Canada, in Australia. But you see this year, you see that year, you get into the Bible, and it's virtually everything listed in the Bible regarding the signs of the time, the lifestyle of men, and all that. Everything comes together like a puzzle. And the pieces are falling in place, and the picture is becoming clearer by the day. That we are in serious times. The picture is becoming clearer. So you pick a picture of earthquake, wars, pandemics, famines, rumors of wars. You go to 2 Thessalonians 3 and all the lifestyles there. People will be lovers of themselves, unthankful, unholy. I mean, you are seeing everything listed there in our society today. So you see, you bring all the prophecies together. And you realize that the picture is very clear. I mean, the picture has never been clearer than we are seeing now. It's becoming far more clearer now than ever before, because we are beginning to see things escalate just as the Bible talked about. And then, let me continue. Afghanistan, they had flash flooding, killing dozens in remote province. You know, the weather has been really, really, last 2 weeks, you heard of the German one. I saw one headline this week. It says, "In aftermath of German floods, fires burn in southern Europe as rains drench London." This is a headline. I mean, this gives a summary of the state of things happening in some places. Wildfires are spreading on the Italian island of Sardinia and elsewhere in southern Europe, fueled by wind and dry weather, adding to a list of travails that have plagued the continent over the summer, including high temperatures, dry spells, and drenching rains. The fires come as rains wreak havoc to the north. Germany is grappling with the aftermath of flooding that has devastated entire towns with little warning. In London, extreme rain beginning Sunday, following a heat wave, barreled the city, flooding roads, hospitals, and train stations. Authorities in Sardinia declared a state of emergency on Sunday as fires tore through tens of thousands of acres and forced some 1,500 people to evacuate. And then goes on and on. Tens of thousands of hectares of vegetation have been destroyed, businesses, houses burned, livestock killed. Elsewhere in Europe, other fires and rains are raging days after floods submerged houses and streets in Germany and Belgium, leaving over 200 people dead. In northeast Spain, woodland rural areas, wildfires broke out Saturday evening, burning through over 3,000 acres in an area about 62 miles west of Barcelona. Authorities evacuated a summer camp in the blazes vicinity as they hastened to prevent the fires from reaching more inhabited areas. Quote, "We are in a critical moment," unquote, Catalonia's regional president, Pere Aragonès, said, and the Associated Press reported. Quote again, "We must avoid any risky behavior that could force us to divert resources to other emergencies," unquote. And then, you know, so these are, and then in France, another wildfire, the burning forest. A lot is happening. A lot. Even the coldest part of the world, in Siberia, they are having fires, burning things there, trees. And all. Clearly, things are just not normal. And that's what the lady saw, and it's like, whoa, something is happening. You see, when you see those news compilations, and you really see the reality of it, then one headline had flooded London hospitals, ask patients to stay away. You know, these are just things that are not right. You know, a lot is happening. And then Fulani herders or herdsmen kill, kidnap pastor, and behead the father and then 7-year-old son. Fulani herdsmen have beheaded a Christian man and his 7-year-old son and killed a pastor they had kidnapped 2 weeks ago in two separate attacks in northern Nigeria, according to reports. Thomas Wolo, 46, and his 7-year-old son, Ngwe Thomas, were beheaded by herdsmen close to their home in Tafigana village in Plateau State's Bassa local government area, as they were returning from choir practice at about 8:50 p.m. on Sunday. As for Nigeria's situation, nothing is happening, nothing is being done. The government doesn't, really speak in the real sense, the government doesn't care. I mean, it's like, he's thinking of, I mean, the old man doesn't care what is happening. And you see, so those who were giving warnings before he stood, when he was standing, and people were giving warnings that Christians, be careful, oh, Christians, be careful. When this man comes, you regret it. Now they are. So, the next news, Hungary to hold referendum on LGBT issues by early 2022. You know, they passed a law recently. Last week I read the EU has threatened to sue them if they don't do something about it. Now, the government has to hold a referendum early next year for the citizens themselves to say yes or no. And, you know, the pressure from these groups, these people... Hungary plans to hold a referendum on legislation that limits schools teaching about homosexuality and transgender issues late this year or early next year, Prime Minister Viktor Orban's chief of staff said on Thursday. Orban announced the referendum on Wednesday, stepping up a culture war with the European Union. The European Commission last week began legal action over the measures, which have been included in amendments to education and child protection laws. I mean, underline, child protection laws. You are protecting your children, and the EU says that, no, don't protect them. Allow them to be destroyed by the LGBT community. Allow them. Don't protect children under 18. You know, this is the state of the world. So evil now that it's just amazing. Evil is pervasive. That's... they don't even care about the state. The children mean nothing to them. They are coming after their children. After some time, they see that they are coming after their children. And that's, I mean, this Hungary case is a classic case to let people understand that we should protect their children. And that's the essence of this program, this edition of Digital Parenting. I'm talking about from the various angles that we as parents and adults have to understand to guard our children. Because, see, we are not... I mean, this is purely not a flesh and blood issue. There are forces at work, high level forces at work. And when we understand it from that angle, then we'll know how to combat and how to really confront these things. Because you see, the devil knows the time and he knows the game he's playing. And now he has marshaled as many forces as possible to really get the thing going, because time is running out. And the children are a major, major part of the agenda. Get them young, destroy them young, they are yours forever. And that's exactly what they are working on. That's why we as Christians should know the seriousness of the times we are in and not just take things for granted. You know, so, well, we continue tonight with the digital parenting. And so Hungary is now going to do their referendum. But it shows how the pressure is very strong. You know, I went to the U.S. Embassy website this afternoon, I mean, don't think I'm traveling. As for the traveling, I'm not going there again. So this is their website. I needed some information about a news I saw, but I wanted to be sure whether it was true. You know, I have to ensure that I give the right information. So I saw this on their website, and Pride Reception 2021. Pride, when you hear Pride, you know, LGBT. As prepared remarks for Ambassador Stephanie S. Sullivan. Pride Reception. So the slogan was, "You are included." As soon as you hear included, you know where we are going. So this was 28th June 2021, 4 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. Chief of Mission Residence, LGBTQ community members and allies. She's addressing them. So this is her speech. Esteemed guests from the Diplomatic Corps, ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon, Akwaaba, to our home. And thank you so much for joining us here today to commemorate Pride Month. You know, June is the Pride Month, so this was the latter part of June. What began in the U.S., United States, as a day in June to honor 1969 Stonewall Uprising in Manhattan, New York, has become an international month-long series of events to mark the past and present struggle for the human rights, dignity, and recognition of the LGBTQI+ community. During this year's Pride Month, we celebrate an important message. You are included. On June 1st, the U.S. Secretary Antony Blinken reaffirmed the U.S. government's commitment to increase our engagement on LGBTQI+ human rights issues abroad. Abroad, that means Ghana is in the crosshairs. And to work with partners like those in this room to build a safer, more inclusive global society for all LGBTQI+ individuals. We aim to increase the visibility of and address the challenges faced by the community as we stand against injustice towards not only women and girls and religious minorities, but also toward members of the LGBTQI+ community. LGBTQI+ persons around the world, including in the United States, continue to face discrimination, violence, and other forms of persecution whom they love. On 25th June, President Biden outdoored Jessica Stein as the U.S. Special Envoy to advance the human rights of LGBTQI+ persons, a role critical to ensuring that U.S. diplomacy and foreign assistance promote and protect human rights of LGBTQI+ persons around the world. Of course, Ghana is included. The Special Envoy will play a vital role in leading implementation of the Presidential Memorandum on Advancing the Human Rights of LGBTQI+ persons around the world. At a time when the human rights of LGBTQI+, this thing is a mouthful when you are mentioning, persons are increasingly threatened in all regions of the world, the Special Envoy would bring together like-minded governments, civil society organizations, corporations, and international organizations to uphold dignity and equality for all. On Friday, President Biden said, quote, "For this community and for our nation and for the world, Pride Month represents so much. It stands for courage, the courage of all those in previous generations and today who proudly live their truth. It stands for justice, both the steps you've taken and the steps we need to take. And above all, Pride Month stands for love, being able to love yourself and love whomever you love and love this country enough to make it more fair and more free and more just," unquote. This year has been challenging for Ghana's LGBTQI+ community. From the shattering of the LGBTQI+ Advocacy Center in Accra, the arrest of 22 friends gathered in the Eastern Region, talk of an anti-LGBTQI+ bill, and most recently, the arrest and lengthy pre-bail detention of 21 human rights defenders in Ho, the community is facing increased anti-LGBTQI+ rhetoric and actions. Thank you to Sean Edem Lawrence for speaking so passionately on behalf of the community here in Ghana. I had the honor of speaking with Sean and a couple of members of the whole 21 prior to this event. I will tell you what I told them. The U.S. government is an ally of the LGBTQI plus community in Ghana. Let me repeat. The U.S. government is an ally, underline, ally, of the LGBTQI plus community in Ghana. This is serious. During my tenure as U.S. ambassador to Ghana, and especially this past year, I have made it a priority to urge national leaders in Ghana to uphold constitutional human rights protections and to adhere to international human rights obligations and to adhere to international human rights obligations and commitments for all individuals. This especially includes the people in this room, especially in this room. While many of these conversations are conducted behind closed doors, know that I and other members of the diplomatic community here this evening, and also those not present, are advocates for you to be accorded your constitutional human rights. This year's celebration is a bit low-key with the pandemic ever-present and the current sensitivities surrounding the human rights of LGBTQI plus persons in Ghana. Many may have wondered whether a diplomatic mission pride event should occur. Our answer at the U.S. Embassy is a resounding yes. Is the policy of the United States to pursue an end to violence and discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity. Therefore, it is important to take the time to gather, take stock, and reaffirm our determination to continue to promote the human rights of the community with the community. Just as senior officials raised progress flag for the first time at the State Department last Friday, I am happy to invite you all to watch as we hoist the pride flag in honor of the people we celebrate this month as a symbol of our continued commitment to the human rights, dignity, and inclusion of all LGBTQ plus people. Thank you. Then they walked out and went to hoist the LGBT flag under the U.S. flag at the embassy in Accra. This happened June 28th. But you see, now this thing is getting higher. I mean, they are pushing the bottom to another level. The whole U.S. government says now they are an ally to these people. So our government should prepare, because this bill that has gone to parliament, listen to the next news. Today on Joy FM, this happened. Sam George, the lead MP for this private bill that they've sent, private members bill that they've sent. This is the headline. Australian High Commissioner threatened me with visa restriction and arrest, Sam George. The Ningo Pram Pram MP, Sam Nati George, has revealed that the Australian High Commissioner to Ghana has threatened to deny him a visa to travel to any European country. No, listen to it well. Australian High Commissioner, you are in charge of Australia. But now, you see, because they are an alliance, this High Commissioners and Ambassadors, so now he has influenced them, the European ones. So he threatened to deny him a visa to travel to any European country. Speaking on Joy News File Saturday, the legislator stated that Gregory Andrews also threatened to arrest him if he leaves the shores of Ghana. I mean, look, arrest him for what? Quote, "We met at the Hearts Kotoko game. And there he came and accosted me and threatened me that I would never get a visa to any European country. And he said that if I ever step there, I will be arrested." Not intimidated by the threats, Mr. Nate George retaliated, saying, quote, "I said to him that he is in Ghana and I will not be threatened. And if he does not take care, I will make sure that the laws of Ghana deal with him, because he has breached several laws in Ghana," unquote. He told host Evans Mensah that the following day, Gregory Andrews reported him to the Speaker of Parliament, Aben Bagbin, accusing him of assault. In the middle of all that, there were a number of Hearts fans who saw the back and forth, and some of them wanted to shake him up a bit. So he ran to the military. And then he says, the next day he ran to the speaker that I had assaulted him and caused a mob to attack him. And that is why the speaker said, we will not be threatened. We will not be intimidated in our country, the vociferous MP narrated. But the speaker stood his ground and reiterated that legislators will not be intimidated by advocates of the anti-LGBTQ plus bill. The 36-page bill yet to be passed, to be sent to Parliament for consideration to criminalize the act of homosexuality have created several controversies, stirring emotions of hope and despair by a fraction of the Ghanaian populace. For some, the bill criminalizing the involvement, promotion, propagation, advocacy, support, or funding for the those people, I mean, I'm tired of mentioning, related activities will infringe on the human rights of citizens as well as silence free speech. The strong reservations which greeted the anti-LG blah 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 bill have brought MPs who funded and spearheaded the bill under scrutiny by some advocates of the LGBT group, I mean, long name. One of the bill's sponsors in Parliament, Samnathi George, who has always opposed the legislation of same-sex relationships in Ghana, stated that he is not intimidated by the threats. The lawmaker stated that he would defend and see the bill's passage, which seeks to protect and promote proper human sexual rights, which resonates with the Ghanaian family values. I'm least perturbed about any of those states. I definitely will and will certainly travel when the need arises. I will. Nobody has the right to arrest me without any grounds, he said. So this gives you a perfect picture from what I read at the U.S. Embassy by the ambassador, with the ambassadors who were there in league with, you know, then now what the... this Australian High Commissioner recently went to the Speaker of Parliament to try and negotiate and talk that we should pass laws to protect them. And I was happy when the Speaker gave him a very rude response, which was befitting, by the way. That would we come there to ask them to do polygamy in their Europe, there in their Western societies? And now, Sam George is now in their crosshairs of being anti, so they have to restrict him visa. And I'm sure, you see, when this thing gets into Parliament finally, now they are, I think the gazetting process is on, but when they start this whole bill reading in Parliament, first reading, second reading, and all that, I will not be surprised that pressure will come from higher levels to the government, to the president. And don't be surprised if they start tying conditionalities of grants and loans to these things. That if we go ahead and we pass this, we shouldn't expect grants to support our budget next year. I mean, don't be surprised when you start hearing these things. You see, they are bent on having their way in the world. So any country, any politician, any leader, any pastor, man of God, whoever, you try to cross their path, they bring their full force against you. But you see, for us in African countries, unfortunately, like in Ghana, where we've made ourselves beggars, now then we push ourselves in situations where, you know, you just imagine they give you the condition. If you don't, you go ahead and you pass this bill, I mean, all the EU countries, they will not give you grants, they will not support your budget. Hey. Can we support? Can we stand that one? Time will tell. Okay. Today, this is the news that when I was working on, my mind couldn't comprehend what I was reading. Professor apologizes to medical students for being offensive, saying only women can get pregnant. Let me repeat. A medical professor, of course, a doctor, a learned doctor, professor, apologizes to medical students for being offensive. And what did he say? Only women can get pregnant. I mean, is this something to apologize for? And even, let's put it aside, a doctor talking to student doctors who understand the anatomy of a human being, you understand biology, you know how a human being is, the body of a woman and the body of a man, you know it's
you understand how it works, the parts of the human body, you know it, and you have a problem when this is said by your professor. I think in the next few years, if Christ arrives, I wonder how this generation things will turn out, because we are going to have a breed of, there's no way to describe the type of youth that would be roaming the streets of this world. A California medical school student says professors are cowering to the woke ideology out of fear that students would use an instant reporting system against them if they teach that sex is a biological reality and not a social construct. Can you imagine? Being a male or female is not, it's no longer a biology. It's a social issue. That's why you can just switch. Today I'm a man, tomorrow I'm a woman. I mean, how? In a piece titled, quote, "Medical schools are now denying biological sex" on the Substack page called Common Sense with Barry Weiss. Yes, Common Sense, Ampa. Journalist Kathy Herzog shared recording of lectures captured by a student at a medical school in the University of California system. One recording using the term pregnant woman during a lecture. The professor of an endocrinology course apologized for uttering that phrase. So, quote, "I'm very sorry for that. It was clearly not my intention to offend anyone. The worst thing that I can do as a human being is be offensive," unquote, he said. So this is what the professor said. Then he says again, "I said when a woman is pregnant, which implies that only women can get pregnant, and I most sincerely apologize to you all," unquote. No. I can't believe this. A whole medical professor, you are talking to student doctors, and you say a woman can get pregnant and you are sorry for it. I mean, come on. Even a little child, KG1, KG2, knows it's the mother, it's mothers who have a big belly to bring out babies. Even a child knows. I mean, so why would a whole learned professor say sorry for this? Because the state of the world now is good is evil and evil is good. Let me continue. "Well, biologically speaking, only women can get pregnant. Herzog's report comes at a time when many people are claiming otherwise. Just last week, drafts drawings of a proposed emoji featuring a pregnant man first surfaced. The proposed emoji, designed to advance the idea that men can get pregnant as well as women," oh no, "could be available to the public as early as next year." The medical school student who provided recordings to Herzog explained that from the perspective of some of her classmates, quote, "acknowledging biological sex can be considered transphobic," unquote. Herzog wrote that when sex is acknowledged by her instructors, it's sometimes portrayed as a social construct, not a biological reality, unquote. For example, one of the girl's professors reportedly argued that biological sex, sexual orientation, and gender are all constructs. That means you can switch 0101 10, whatever way you want. When asked whether professors actually believed the aforementioned statements that they recited in front of their students, the student, who Herzog referred to as the synonym Lauren, theorized, quote, "I think there's a small percentage of instructors, but most of them are probably just scared of their students," unquote. Additionally, this particular medical school has an online forum where students can correct their professors for using gender-specific terms such as male, female, or breastfeed, as opposed to gender-neutral terms like chest feed. Hey, Oh no, chest feed. So the man, what will he be feeding the baby with on the chest? This generation. This forum enables students to lodge their complaints in real time during lectures. So now you are sitting in class
And you can report your lecturer for saying the wrong gender or misgendering, as they call it sometimes. And so you see, you can understand where this professor is. The intimidation alone, you know, your students can report you, and they will take you on to when you are reported, you are always the one in the wrong side. I mean, so what type of society are we living in now? So Lauren recalled how one time a professor who was so upset by students calling her out for using male and female that she started crying. Whoa. Lauren also told Herzog that at the beginning of the previous school year, students circulated petitions in an effort to name and shame professors for engaging in wrong speak. So if you speak wrongly, you'll be shamed. Name and shame. Examples of wrong speak, that's quote and unquote wrong speak, cited in the petitions include use of the pronouns she and her, as well as the terms father and son. Upon receiving the petition, the professor accused of using the cisnormative, cisnormative language, apologized for speaking in binary terms, and noted that she had consulted with a member of the school's LGBT community before giving the lecture. Another professor became the subject of a petition for calling a trans-identified male as man changing into woman, which upset students because it implies that the trans woman wasn't always a woman. Is this not the truth? Lauren added that since the petitions were sent out, instructors have been far more proactive about correcting their slides in advance or sending out emails to the school listry if any upcoming material has outdated terminology. So now lecturers are editing their notes. She, he, removing all those words. Father, son. I mean, what's wrong with us? The woke ideology has... In one case, a professor sent out an email warning that an upcoming lecture might not align with the school's approach to gender inclusivity and gender sex anti-oppression because it would include the phrase premenopausal woman. So the professor vowed to rectify the issue by using the term premenopausal people in the future. Premenopausal people. So that means men can also have menopause. The woke ideology that has taken hold in medical schools has also made its way into the larger scientific community. Herzog mentioned that the American Psychological Association now considers the terms natal sex and birth sex disparaging and instead uses the phrase assigned sex at birth. So it's no longer how you were born, the state in which you were born, born a boy or a girl. Now it's about the sex you are assigned. So now you can be born a girl, born a boy, and then your father will say that, yes, you are a girl, all right, but I want you to be, you are a boy. So I, on this day, assign you the sex of male. So you see a girl lying down, baby, crying girl. And yet the father will say that this is a male. So the birth certificate, they write M, male, on it. Whilst everything about the baby is female. I mean, this is the state of the world. I mean, sometimes I think about it and I think Sodom and Gomorrah didn't even get close to where we are now. This generation, no. We've crossed levels that we've reached. Sodom and Gomorrah, they were jokers. Because, you know, the things this generation is engaged in, Sodom and Gomorrah didn't have prophets preaching to them. Perhaps they would have changed. Nobody preached to them, at least before the warning came. They didn't have the angels warning them, preaching to them personally, no. But we are in a society where we know God, we know good, we know that this is wrong. You know, at the time of Sodom and Gomorrah, there was the Ten Commandments had not been given. So the laws which even like good and bad,
They didn't have it as we have now in our generation, post Moses' laws and post Jesus and all that. So this generation cannot say that they don't know that what they are doing is wrong. No. We can't say we don't know what is. They know. Because I've seen one some few years ago, I think I still have that. I have to look for that picture. And they were doing a protest at the U.S. Supreme Court, some young girls, and then one is holding a placard, I'm going to hell and I'm glad about it. So this person cannot say, doesn't know there's hell. She knows there's hell. She knows because she has heard preaching that says that this, if you don't repent, you are going to hell. And she responds by holding a placard, I know this, I'm glad about it. So they don't care. They don't care. They don't fear God. They insult God. That's why I said this whole color choice of their rainbow thing is chosen intentionally to insult God. That's exactly what they are doing. So we are worse off than Sodom and Gomorrah by all standards. Let me finish off this news quickly. Then goes on to say that the woke ideology that has taken hold in medical schools has also made its way into the larger scientific community. Herzog mentioned that the American Psychological Association, now considers the terms natal sex and birth sex disparaging and instead uses the phrase assigned sex at birth. She warned that the National Institutes of Health, the CDC, and the Harvard Medical School have all made efforts to divorce sex from medicine and emphasize gender identity. The journalist wrote that in 2018, the American Academy of Pediatrics recommended that pediatricians affirm their parents' chosen gender without taking into account mental health, family history, trauma, or fears of puberty. Herzog stressed that the ideology sweeping through the medical schools and the medical community as a whole has led to a de-emphasization of on the different medical experiences faced by males and females. For example, Lauren discussed how abnormal aortic aneurysms were four times as likely to occur in males than females, but she was never informed of that fact. Instead, she had to look it up. I don't have time to look up the sex predominance for all the diseases I'm expecting to know. I'm not even sure what I'm not being taught. And unless my classmates are as skeptical as I am, they probably aren't aware either. So what type of doctors are we training now in the U.S.? Along with featuring first-hand testimony from a medical school student, Herzog's piece included quotes from established medical professionals who agreed that the imposition of woke ideology that ignores or downplays differences between two biological genders into the medical community will have disastrous consequences. Of course, disastrous consequences. A former dean of a leading medical school told Herzog that the anecdotes shared in the article are a serious departure from the expectation that medical education and practice should be based on science and free from the imposition of ideology and ideology-based intimidation. He also said that how male and female members of our species develop, how they differ genetically, anatomically, physiologically, and with respect to diseases and their treatments are foundational in clinical medicine and research. The former medical school official maintained that efforts to erase or diminish these foundations should be unacceptable to responsible professional leaders. Lorraine expressed hope that the truth will come out and science will eventually prevail, but remained skeptical because the new gender ideology movement is portrayed as a civil rights movement that seems virtuous and seems like the right thing to do, concluding that it is difficult to fight against something that's being marketed as a fight for human rights. Almost done. A few more, then we are off with the news. Then Christian CEO fired over views on marriage wins religious discrimination case. This happened in Scotland. A court in Scotland has ruled in favor of a Christian CEO who, they said, was unjustly fired by the country's biggest grant-making trust because of his Christian views on marriage. Kenneth Ferguson was unlawfully discriminated against by the Robertson Trust and its chairwoman, Shonan McPherson, for believing that marriage is exclusively between a man and woman, an employment tribunal has ruled. The Christian Institute, which supported Ferguson, announced the ruling in a statement on Friday. Ferguson is an elder of Stirling Free Church, which holds traditional views on marriage and abortion. I mean, the intimidation that is happening now in some places is serious, it's serious. Okay, now to Finland. Lutheran bishops worldwide condemn criminal prosecution of Finnish MP Päivi Räsänen. Lutheran bishops from around the world have issued a statement condemning the criminal persecution of Päivi Räsänen, a Christian politician who is facing 6 years in prison for sharing her biblical beliefs on sexuality and marriage. And Finnish bishop-elect Johanna Pohjola, who distributed a pamphlet written by Räsänen. Quote, the actions of the Finnish state in prosecuting Christians for holding to a clear teaching of the very words of Jesus regarding marriage and sex, Matthew 19:4-6, are egregious, says the statement issued by the International Lutheran Council and joined by the bishops and presidents of dozens of Lutheran church bodies worldwide. Räsänen, a member of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Finland, could face up to 6 years in prison after being charged with 3 counts of ethnic agitation related to statements she made expressing her beliefs about human sexuality and marriage. A long-standing member of the Finnish parliament, Räsänen publicly voiced her opinion on marriage in a 2004 booklet on sexual ethics, describing marriage as between one man and one woman. Is this not common sense? She also expressed her views on a 2019 radio show and tweeted church leadership on the matter. Pohjola, a bishop-elect of the Evangelical Lutheran Mission Diocese of Finland, has also been charged with 1 count of ethnic agitation for publishing Räsänen's booklet. Quote, the accused clearly affirm the divinely given dignity, value, and the human rights of all, including all who identify with the LGBT community, unquote, says the letter, titled A Protest and Call for Free Religious Speech in Finland. We Lutherans make this strong and strong confession along with Drs. Pohjola and Räsänen. It continues, the vast majority of Christians in all nations, including Catholics and Eastern Orthodox, share these convictions. Would the Finnish Prosecutor General condemn us all? Moreover, shall the Finnish state risk governmental sanctions from other states based on the abuse of foundational human rights? Prosecutors determined that Räsänen's previous statements disparage and discriminate against LGBT individuals and foment intolerance and defamation. The mother of 5 maintains that her expressions are legal and should not be censored. I cannot accept the voicing my religious beliefs could mean imprisonment, said Räsänen in a statement previously issued by ADF International, which is representing her. Quote, I do not consider myself guilty of threatening, slandering, or insulting anyone. My statements were all based on the Bible's teachings on marriage and sexuality, unquote. She added, I will not back down from my views. I will not be intimidated into hiding my faith. The more Christians keep silent on controversial themes, the narrower the space for freedom of speech gets. In May, law professors and scholars called on the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom to pressure the State Department to sanction Finland's Prosecutor General for prosecuting Räsänen and Pohjola. But this same State Department is also now
the one that the American ambassador was referring to. So now they fire everywhere. In an open letter published by Real Clear Politics, professors from Ivy League institutions like Harvard University, Yale, and Princeton argued that the prosecution of the politician for her remarks could compel Finland's clergy and lay religious believers to choose between prison and abandoning teachings of their various faiths. Räsänen is no stranger to controversy, as she has become known as a prominent Finnish defender of traditional Christian views on marriage, euthanasia, and abortion. As Evangelical Focus noted earlier, Räsänen's view are often more conservative than those in the ECLF leadership. So a Christian MP in Finland facing prison term of 6 years for saying marriage is between one man and one woman. You know, this is the state of the world. Well, Olympic Games is ongoing. They postponed 1 year Olympic 2020 Summer Olympic Games. And this headline, I think CNN also, yeah, There may be more Olympians who identify as LGBTQ than ever before. Can you imagine? So the 2020 Summer Olympic Games are already historic, and not just because they are taking place a year later than scheduled. This year's Olympic features, by one count, more participants who identify as LGBTQ than any other games. Wow, something is happening in the world. At least 168 of the 11,000 Olympians competing in Tokyo this week are openly LGBTQ, according to SB Nation blog Outsports. Of the 160-plus LGBTQ athletes, some are well-known, you know, and they mention their names there, you know. But, you see, the states of this whole thing is they are becoming bolder and bolder. And they are now seeking to push themselves as role models for the children. You see, and this is where parents, we have to know where to draw the line to protect our children. Because, you see, these are celebrities. Some of them, you know, are, so your children can now see, children can see them as, oh, role models. I want to be like this person. And then they start following them online, Facebook and all that. And now you see they holding their rainbow flags and then all these things that they do and all. You see, so parents have to be very careful now regarding the usage of media, TV, internet and all. And that's the essence of this series that we are on, this digital parenting. And then the next headline says, Oklahoma mother arrested after police say family threw baby shower for 12-year-old impregnated by 24-year-old. So a mother, your 12-year-old girl is impregnated by a 24-year-old man, and you are doing a party celebrating it. So they got to the hospital, and the police was called, and the guy was arrested and been charged with rape. I mean, it just that, and the mother too has been arrested for negligence, parental negligence. And it makes sense for this mother to be arrested. How? 12-year-old. And you are happy about it. You know, this is the state of some, the mindset of some parents who, they are the cause of the children's, I mean, lifestyles. They push the children. They destroy them. They allow the children to be spoilt. And last week I made a statement that the reference said that we don't really have bad children. It's bad parenting that breeds bad children. And that's the truth. This news is a bit serious. Italian pro-abortion doctor postpones retirement, and the reason is as search continues for his replacement. So an Italian doctor has postponed his retirement because there is no one else to carry out abortions in his region. Italy legalized abortions more than 40 years ago, but many of the doctors who work for the National Health Services refused to perform the procedure. In Molise, an area of 300,000 people on the East Coast, there is only one pro-abortion gynecologist working for the public sector, and the authorities are struggling to recruit a replacement. Dr. Michelle Mariano, 69,
told the La Repubblica newspaper, quote, "I have been doing this job for 40 years. My hope is that someone will show up to continue my job." Yeah. So you have been killing for 40 years and you want someone to also come and be a murderer like you. According to the health ministry figure, 70% of the public hospital gynecologists are so-called conscientious objectors who opt out of performing abortions on religious and moral grounds. God bless them. They've done well. You know, this is worrying. It shows that he doesn't say anything wrong with it. You've been killing for 40 years. Hey, no. Okay, the last news item, I think let me leave it for when I get to the music part, the main program, the show, the discussion part of it. Let me put it that way or whatever. I'm alone, so I don't know. It's okay, it can be discussion. But the other side of the program, when I get there, then I'll use that last news item. That one is Ghana, but it's when I saw it, I said, no. The body of Christ, something is not right. Program is Issues of Life. I'll be back after this short break.
Be pleasing, Lord.
very beautiful song by the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. You know, can we say that the songs we sing as Christians are pleasing to God? Can we say that aside church, at home, in your car, walking, can you say that the songs that you sing pleases God? You know, last week I started the aspect of the music we listen to, and let me just do a quick recap where I talked about Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 3, where he called for a minstrel to be brought before he could prophesy. So after the minstrel sang, then minstrel played, then he prophesied. And then talked about David playing a harp to King Saul for the demonic possession or whatever. And he had his freedom after David played, to signify how there's power in music. Because if a prophet, Elisha, needs a minstrel to minister before he could prophesy, that tells you that was that power, that minstrel was also an anointed singer, not just some ordinary someone working somewhere, because that would have made no difference. You see, so David playing a harp and a demon can depart from King Saul, that means he was an anointed player. And I made the case to the effect that if one, a demon can depart from a player of a harp, the instrumentals, let me put it that way, or jazz, whatever we call it, then it can also come in through that same means. So that means if you also listen to a demonic agent playing, demons can also come to the reverse still holds, because if demons can depart when an anointed player plays, demons can come in when a possessed player also plays. Because we are talking about spiritual things here. But let me start off with this verse this evening, and Matthew 12:36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Every idle word. That's quite a serious thing there. And you see, songs composed of words, lyrics, the words, the instrumentals, then the words are added to it, and all the rhythm, then we add the words. So the words, even in songs, if it's idle, this is the word, it says every idle word that can, that man shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. What are we singing? What are we saying? What do we see when we are singing? What words come out of our mouths when we are singing? What songs do we sing as parents in our homes? What music do our children get to listen? What songs are they exposed to from their infancy growing up? What songs were they listening to? And all. What do they hear when they sit in your car, you are driving them around, you are going to school or town or wherever? What songs do you play in your car? What music videos do they watch at home? Or you, the parents, watch for them to also watch alongside? When they pick your phone, what songs do they see on your phone? What music videos are on your phone that your children will pick and watch? You see, we just often downplay the seriousness of what we listen to and what we sing, and it's like, yeah, Christians who see nothing wrong with, my death is nothing, shatawale, what's the big deal? You know, we can't draw the line that I am a Christian, so I stand by these principles. This news, when I saw it this week, the headline, it was quite a number of the local networks had it. Ghana Web and Modern Ghana, they all had it. And have sex, this is the headline, have sex before marriage or your marriage will fail. Gospel musician Brother Sammy. So gospel musician Brother Sammy says, lovers who are willing to get married must first have sex before deciding to get married. Speaking in an interview with OKFM,
He argued that having sex before marriage is the only time couples can find out if they are compatible sexually. Not knowing a partner's sexual preference before marriage, he said, is a recipe for disaster for the marriage. That's a lie. Quote, I'm not saying people should have sex indiscriminately, but if you don't have sex with the person before marriage, your marriage will fail. That's a big lie. Yes, I'm a Christian, and that is why I said that this is a difficult thing to say, he said. He believes sexual frustrations are the reasons why most people cheat with their exes. He explained that everyone has peculiar sexual desires which need to be satisfied. A gospel singer. You know, so what song will he be singing? You know, we have a problem, even in the body of Christ, the type of songs we have in churches. I mean, some are nothing to write home about. You know, we have to be careful because worship, singing, and all that in church, sometimes we sing as we think we are singing to ourselves. If you go to church and we are singing, we are worshiping God. We are not worshiping ourselves. We are not. The song is supposed to be to God. But sometimes we act as if it's for ourselves. We sing for ourselves. So we sing to entertain ourselves, to make ourselves happy. You know, once the Holy Spirit drew my attention to something, and I seriously, until that time, I had never thought about it before. Yeah, this was the thought that came, or the question, and the thought, through the thoughts. Who dances to the words of a song? And I'm asking you this question. Who dances to words? The words of a song. Just the words. No rhythm, no beats, no instrumentation. Just the words. Who dances to words of a song? I mean, you know what? You don't dance to words of a song. You dance when there's a rhythm to follow. Or then you'll be humming the rhythm along. But just the words. You just don't see the words. And then you dance. You see, so music is a combination. The words with the instrumentation. So when we fuse the two things together, we get the good music we listen to, or we are, I mean, worshiping with, or we use it to pray, or we are praising God and all that. But we shouldn't just think it's just rhythm. It doesn't matter. Let me read an interview that was granted in the Rolling Stones magazine. This is one of the, you know, music magazine leading ones. And this is about Carlos Santana. Carlos Santana is just a case study I'm doing for one of the things for people to learn something. Carlos Santana is one of the, I would say one of the best lead guitarists in the world. And so this is the epic life of Carlos Santana. These are just excerpts for the purpose of this program. So, a tale of, the subtitle is A Tale of Angels, Devils, Gurus, Tijuana, Whorehouses, Buried Secrets, and Redemption After 30 Years of Rock and Roll. So, now let me get into, listen to the words he uses in this interview. And I'll talk more about it afterwards. So, the writer says, his meditation spot is in front of the fireplace on Carlos Santana's property in San Rafael in California, about 20 minutes north of San Francisco. There are two buildings. The house closer to the water is where the family lives. Santana, his wife, Deborah, and their three children. The other house, a little higher up the hill, he calls the church. Quote, here is where I hang out with Jimmy and Miles and whoever and play and meditate. Unquote, he explains. The rest of the family likes to be in bed by 10, but Santana is a ninth person, so he will come up here until 2 or 3 in the morning. A card with the word Metatron spelled out intricately painted picture letters lies on the floor next to the fireplace. Metatron is an angel. Listen, Metatron is an angel. Santana has been in regular contact with him since 1994. Carlos will sit here facing the wall. the candles lit. He has a yellow legal pad, that's a notepad, legal pad, at one side, ready for the communication that will come. Quote, it's kind of like a fax machine, he says. The largest candle, whose half-molten remnants are placed centrally, is in a charred tin that bears the logo of its previous less spiritual use. He is saying that this angel, Metatron, he's mentioned the name Metatron. He faces the wall during the meditative mood and waits for this angel to give him instructions to write. That's the music to write. Angel, take notes. We talk of angels and such like. There are a few conversations with him that don't lead to a discussion of angels or of the spiritual radio through which music comes. Are you listening? Spiritual radio through which music comes. Santana has been increasingly engaged by angels since the day in 1988 when he picked up a book on the subject at the Milwaukee airport. It's an enormous piece. The few times I have felt the presence in the room, he says, I feel lit up. I'm not callous anymore. I'm not bound to DNA anymore. It's beyond sex. It's beyond anything that this world could give you. Feel like Jesus embraced me and I'm bathed in light. But he's not a Christian. His attitude is now in the wake of the success of his album, the 7 million selling Supernatural. The world is interested in hearing him talk, and he is going to talk about things he finds important. Quote, what are you going to say? He scoffs. There is no business like show business. Not in this case. I don't care, man, about what anyone thinks about my reality, he says. My reality is that God speaks to you every day. There's an inner voice, and when you hear it, you get a little tingle in your medulla oblongata. That's oblongata, your brain, at the back of your neck. Little shiver, and at 2 o'clock in the morning, everything is really quiet, and you meditate, and you got the candles, and you got the incense, underline, incense, and you be chanting, underline, chanting, and all of a sudden, you hear this voice, write this down. It is just an inner voice, and you trust it. That voice will never take you to the desert. He tells me about Metatron. This is the writer of the interview. He tells me about Metatron. Quote, Metatron is the architect of physical life. Because of him, we can French kiss, we can hug, we can get a hot dog, wiggle or a toe, unquote. He sees Metatron in his dreams and meditations. This is the so-called angel he's talking about. He looks a bit like Santa Claus. Oh, come on. White beard and kind of this jolly fellow. Metatron, who has been mentioned in mystical disciplines, underline mystical disciplines, through the ages, also appears as the eye inside the triangle. For those who listen, eye inside the triangle, I hope you know. Eye inside the triangle. The triangle with the eye inside. The symbol. Those people. Santana credits Metatron with alerting him to the recent changes in his life. In the mid-90s, he met some people in a spiritual bookstore near his home, and they invited him to their afternoon meditations in Santa Cruz. The last time he was there, Metatron delivered some important messages. Quote, you will be inside the radio frequency, unquote, Metatron told him, for the purpose of connecting the molecules with the light. Carlos Santana understood. He would make a few albums and be on the radio again, and he would connect the molecules with the light. He would connect an audience with some of the spiritual information he now had. Metatron offered further instructions. Quote, be patient, gracious, and grateful, unquote, Santana was told. and he resolved to do just that. So this world acclaimed lead guitarist describes how he gets his source of music, and he calls it an angel with the name Metatron. But you know, you and I should know that this is not an angel from God. You know, if you need an incense and candles and chanting and all to activate this angel, clearly it's not from God. But this is just to let you understand how this person has gotten a song. He plays it. What spirit is behind it? So the spirit behind his songs is the Metatron. I mean, he's not hiding it. He says it. I mean, he's happy about it. He has even a track named after the Metatron, either album or track or something. You see, so he doesn't hide his source of his inspiration, how he gets his music, and then he writes it. Facing the wall, candle, crossed legs, or I mean, meditation mood and all. You see, so this is, he has said this. How many musicians out there also share how they get their songs? How many? Most wouldn't. I mean, a few make interviews or do interviews and they chip in things like, you know, I mean, Beyonce will talk of when Sasha Fierce comes over here, you know, then, you know, they say it. And so that's the demon that empowers her to do what she does. And there's, I mean, you can, it's on YouTube. Granted, interview on that, talked about it and all. You see, so you realize that there's power in music. Now, the type of power in the music is what becomes an issue for us believers. Because if you listen to Carlos Santana's song, Instrumentals, clearly you know the spirit's back in it. Now, no, not that you, now you know. I mean, I'm talking about it now. So you know that there's a spirit that this singer gets the inspiration from and empowers him to release those powerful music. So if you are listening to it, what spirit comes out for you to listen to? You know, let me read this one or two things, and then this article was written 2019. I picked excerpts of it. This was on CNN. How music can change the way you feel and act. How music can change the way you feel and act. Music is present in every part of our lives. Our spiritual rituals are framed with songs. Children learn the alphabet through song, and then malls and cafes we visit during our leisure time are rarely silent. But just how much can this ever-present thing impact us and the way we act and feel? Research suggests music can influence us a lot. It can impact illness, depression, spending, productivity, and our perception of the world. Let me repeat. It can impact illness, depression, spending, productivity, and our perception of the world. Some research has suggested it can increase aggressive thoughts or encourage crime. Recently, a UK study explored how drill music, a genre of rap characterized by threatening lyrics, might be linked to attention-seeking crime. That's not new, but the emergence of social media allows more recording and sharing. The content of these songs is about gang rivalry, and unlike other genres, the audience might judge the performer based on whether he will follow through with what he claims in his lyrics, writes the study's author, according to the author, Craig Pinkney, a criminologist and lecturer at the University College Birmingham in the UK. Another paper published in 2003 in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology reported that music can incite aggressive thoughts and feelings. During 5 experiments with 75 female and 70 male college students, those who heard a violent song were shown to feel more hostile than those who heard a non-violent song. Let me repeat. Those who heard a violent song were shown to feel more hostile than those who heard a non-violent song from the same artist and style. The study showed that violent songs led to more aggressive thoughts in 3 different measures. More aggressive interpretations when looking at ambiguous words, an increased speed with which people read aggressive compared to non-aggressive words, and a greater proportion of people completing aggressive words when filling in blanks on forms given to them during the study. One way to put these findings, say the authors, is that participants who listen to violent rock songs then interpreted the meaning of the ambiguous words such as rock and stick in an aggressive way. The study adds that the outcomes of hostile thoughts could be short-lived if the next song's lyrics are non-violent or if some other non-violent event occurs. The effects of such violent lyrics will dissipate, states the paper. Music has the power over our feelings. No other species has evolved in such a way to ascribe meaning and create emotional responses to music as humans, according to Lily E. Hedge. So, the type of songs you listen to influences the things you do. That's why, you know, if you are observant, look at the type of hairstyle the youth are having around these days. Talk to them, and they are either followers of Shatta Wale or Stone Boy. See, there's an influence on these people. So it goes even just beyond the lifestyle, but the personality look alike. You want to be like the person. You want to try and be like. So the hairstyle becomes the first thing they want to tamper with and want to look like. You know, so it tells you there's far more to music than we say. So when parents downplay the seriousness of such a thing in their homes, in their cars, on the TVs, and they allow their children to watch anything, it will amaze you that you are training your child in the fear of God, all right, but these songs will be ending the hard work that you are doing at home, in your upbringing of your children. So it's like you'll be planting good seeds in their lives, good moral upbringing and all. And these music videos or the songs that we have around these days, and I dare say there are a lot of the music videos, the songs, I mean, a lot, the words, even some don't make sense. You don't even, you see, and that's another aspect of it. There are some words that they say, you don't even hear the words. And some are, they are chanting occultic things. And people think it's just, oh, they are saying, rrr. You see, we have to be wise as believers. That's why we should just, those songs are just no-go areas for us. And you see, if the person is chanting, how do you even know what he's chanting? You see, so you don't know the influence that what he's chanting is going to have on you, the manipulation that is going to have on you spiritually. You don't even know. You see, but people just take it for granted that anything goes, it doesn't matter, it's just a song. It's not just a song. The purpose of these discussions is to let you understand that songs are not just songs. Like, so just listen to anything. Okay, you want to listen to something, so you just pick the radio tune. She station, okay, this song, okay, it's not nice. She next station, okay, it's nice, let me listen. No, I mean, we shouldn't just be listening to anything, any junk, just because you want to listen to something. You see, and we as Christians should really be careful regarding these things. Let me give you for instance, you know, sometimes I see music songs where you have Christians, they pick worldly songs and then they put in godly, quote unquote, godly songs. I have, this is when the Holy Spirit give me that analogy that who dances to lyrics of a song? Then I started thinking about it seriously. Now, Carlos Santana, the one I mentioned earlier, let's say you pick his instrumentals. What spirit is behind it? Answer to yourself. What spirit is behind it? Then you put in Jesus, I love you, or, I mean, any Christian words. And then you combine it and play it as a song. So we think that because the instrumentation is okay, it's nice, we like the instrumentation, but let's change the word to suit our own. So we put in our gospel and we attach it to a non-gospel and we package it as a song and we think it's presentable to God and to the body of Christ. Wrong, wrong, wrong. We are deceiving ourselves. It's just like zero times any number. Any number you multiply zero with, it's still zero. Because you can't take a song that is inspired by Metatron, a demonic song, and then you put in words that are godly, supposed to be godly, and then expect that suddenly, because you put in words that are okay, the demonic aspect of the instrumentation vanishes. It doesn't, because the inspiration, the songs were inspired by a demon. So that song belongs to them. The instrumentation, the rhythm, the do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, whatever, it belongs to them. They inspired him to write those songs. So if you come and put in your gospel onto their song, it doesn't make it gospel, because you can't mix light and darkness and expect that it will become light. You can't mix the two, cannot. Petrol and water, you can't mix it. It's as simple as that. So you can't take a worldly song inspired by demonic forces and add gospel words to it and then say, oh, it's okay, we can worship God with it. Then first question is, has the Holy Spirit run out of rhythms? The Holy Spirit, has he told us that he can't give us rhythms again? So let's go into the secular satanic agents and go and pick their rhythms and come and use it to worship our God. How can we do this? And you see, so it's all because we don't see the seriousness of music, the impact and the powers that run behind it. So we see nothing wrong with it. So like, we can take a worldly song and then let's put in gospel words and then we say, oh, this is gospel music. It can't be gospel music. It still belongs to where it belongs to, because it is their song. And we are talking of spiritual things here. It is their song. The power behind it remains that power behind it. You know, let me read something from Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter, where is it? Okay. Ezekiel 28, 13 to 17. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tablets and of thy pipes were prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. You know, Lucifer had instruments in him. His creation was unique. The day that thou was created, instruments were placed in him. So whilst we have lungs and liver and stomach and things, he had instruments in him. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have said thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thine beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. He is an epitome of music, and his wisdom has been corrupted. But it doesn't mean he hasn't got that wisdom. The wisdom has been corrupted. That corrupted wisdom is being used now. So not for worshiping God again, but to use it in his agents to get worship for himself. Because he's trying to play God. That's the whole essence of his coup he wanted to do in heaven, to be like God. Now, he has his agents who are also working for him. And that wisdom of generating music for God now is being corrupted. But that gift is still there. The music ability is still with him. So, if we now go to the wrong side of the spiritual realm for music, and now we go and take his corrupted music, his corrupted wisdom that he is using through his agents, and now say we want to use that to come and worship our God. I mean, what are we doing? What are we doing? Because something that belongs to his camp, we go for it, polish it up, and say we are presenting it to God. We can't do this mistake. It is wrong. Because there's power in music. Like this Carlos Santana case I'm talking about. So now, he mentions his demon that brings him the inspiration. Where does this demon bring that inspiration from? From his master. You see, so that corrupted wisdom of Lucifer is still in use through his various and numerous agents across the world. Through the various songs, the hip life, the hip hops, the rap, the rock, all these genres are for him. So as Christians, these are simply a no-go area in whatever way we should just stick to what the psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, spirit-inspired songs, that we know that these are God-ordained, spirit-anointed ones. I mean, these are not difficult to know. If you are really spirit-filled, you are a believer, you know what is wrong and what is right. So as Christians, adults, parents, wardens, uncles, nurses, and whatever, aunties, that's for me, I can say, or I'm not like those who say the students say men and women and all the man, woman, father, grandfather, as you are listening, let's be careful of what we listen to, because it's a big issue. Let me cite this case study. I have a few minutes more. Yeah, 18 minutes. Yeah, okay, good. I was told of this case by someone, an ex-occultist that I came to contact with for some period of months. And he told me of one case where he was assigned to, the purpose was to kill a pastor. So he joined the church, feigned, pretended to be a serious Christian, got close to the pastor and became friends with him, sort of, so that he can be able to do his mission. And this pastor was a prayerful pastor, supposed to be a prayerful pastor anyway. But he tried, he couldn't have access directly to attack him. Till one Sunday after church, he sat in the pastor's car, they were going, and they were playing Marvin Gaye's song, Sexual Healing, in the car. Radio, he puts the radio, like when he turned on the radio, that was the song they were playing. Sexual Healing, Marvin Gaye. And you see, if you do a little reading about Marvin Gaye, his whole lifestyle, the cocaine, the drugs, and eventually committing suicide and all that. It's that bad. So you see, the spirits of these songs and all. So whilst the pastor was listening to this song, he was enjoying it and then started tapping his, fingers on the steering like you are playing drums, acting as if you are playing drums on the steering. So he was nodding, enjoying the song. And according to this guy,
And this one, he was telling me one-on-one. I mean, he told me a lot of things in contact with him. And he told me that this opened up the pastor spiritually for him to attack him that day. You know, I pushed him to tell me who, but he said there are some things which he doesn't want to get into. So, but you see, we were having a discussion and then this issue of music came up and then he cited this example for me. You know, so these are realities of the dangers of, I mean, playing on the devil's, at the devil's backyard and think that nothing can happen to us. You know, when you go and play at the devil's backyard, you just can't go and then finish and nothing. You see, we have to be careful. It's a slippery slope if you keep going to the devil's backyard to go and play. One day, in coming up, you slide and you can't climb up. And that's how this pastor was finished. I mean, he finished him up. He killed him because of one song, one sexual song that he listened to opened him up spiritually. You see, these are serious things we downplay. Oh, what is music? Oh, it's nothing. What's the big deal? But, I mean, there are countless people who will tell you that they listen to a song and got their healing. If you listen to a song and can get your healing through a song, can't you also the reverse? Listen to a song and get a demon of a sickness into you? No, these are the realities. You see, we want to accept the other side, but we don't want to accept the reverse. If it is possible on side A that you listen to a spirit-inspired healing song, you can get your healing. And indeed, there are countless miracles to that effect. How or why can't it also be possible that you are listening to a demonic inspired song and a demon of something something can also affect you? Because there are also people who were affected by the song they were listening to. The spirit of depression comes on people when they listen to that some type of songs and eventually they commit suicide. These are realities and documented things. There are people who listen to some type of songs and anytime they listen to those type of songs, they feel like committing fornication. Because you see, the songs like the sexual healing and those type of songs, the spirit behind the song is to push lust. Ask yourself, the clubs and discos and pubs, why don't they play Elder Miracle songs there? Why don't they play Elder Miracle songs and, I mean, powerful worship songs? Why don't they play those songs there? Because it will spoil the atmosphere for sin. If you play Elder Miracle song at a disco, a pub, I mean, come on. Your clients, they will stone you, the DJ, they will stone you. Because, I mean, what do you want us to come and do here? Are we in church? See, but the issue is, the song doesn't fit in the environment. The atmosphere that should be created there is that generates lust. So if you come and you are playing, no, this one, no, this DJ, please, change. Because that cannot make the atmosphere enjoyable. You can't sing in that type of atmosphere. So they will have to play songs that would stir up lust, because the words are well written and the rhythm and the spirit behind it inspires lust in the listeners. So some type of songs make it easier for people to fornicate than when they are listening to any other song. But when they listen to some type of songs, so you see, that's why those type of songs are the ones they use at those places for the purpose of creating that demonic atmosphere where sin prevails. So as Christians, we have to understand. I mean, you can enter a church or a Christian gathering and the song that is being sung, immediately the atmosphere, you sense that the presence of God is here. I believe every listener at least would have felt it in one time, one way or the other, at a gathering, a Christian gathering, where the worship is so powerful that you know this. I mean, you don't need to be a prophet to know that God is here. I mean, the presence of God is so strong, the manifest presence is so strong. And sometimes just one song can change the whole atmosphere and make it, I mean, very welcoming for the Spirit of God. You see, so if these things can happen on our side here,
Why do we struggle to accept that on the other side, demons, some demons are also aroused and empowered when some songs are also played? You see, so we have to understand the dynamics that we are first and foremost spirit beings, and music, the communication of music to us is at the spirit realm. You see, but because we are hearing with the ear, physical hearing, like as we know it, so we sometimes fail to realize the seriousness of the spiritual aspect of it. So we are listening to these worldly songs, music videos, are lustful and all, and we think, oh, it's nothing. But these are seeds being sown in you. The Holy Spirit taught me something not long ago, that some weeks ago. You see, this is how these demons operate, the spirit of lust, fornication, adultery, and all. You watch a music video, you see a lady shaking their waist, you think, oh, it's nothing. It is a seed that has been sown in you. Spiritually, a seed has been sown. Then, so you think it's nothing, you've left. Then you see something, another music or something else, someone else, you know, sexually, you know, dressed or something, and you lust after the person, another seed is, like, the seed that was sown earlier is being watered to grow. So if you don't deal, you don't understand these things, and you quickly deal with any thoughts immediately to uproot it in you, then you keep seeing, you keep seeing, you keep seeing, you keep hearing, and so the things you hear, the things you see, if they are all the negative along that line, then you keep, that means you are watering the seed, and then it's no longer a seed, it becomes a tender plant, a small plant, then it's growing, then it's growing. So a time comes, if you didn't, you don't deal with it, it becomes, it grows to the point where it becomes difficult to control, and eventually you end up sinning physically. So that's why people will tell you that, oh, but they don't know what happened. It didn't start one day. It started, it's a process. The seed was sown. They didn't take note of the seed that was sown, and it grew to become a plant that now controlled and caused them to sin physically. You see, or this is where our thought life, you see, so we need to be careful. Oh, you see a music video, sometimes like by chance, you're just not that intentionally to go there to, you are watching, but you just saw a scene, you are passing somewhere, or you are standing somewhere, and you saw the scene. Yes, the scene wasn't good, a lustful scene, but I mean, rebuke it from your thoughts. Don't let it sink in to be a seed planted in you for you to grow to become a problem to deal with later on. And that's how, you see, these songs are meant to sow seeds. So the more you listen, so you listen to it, the seed is sown. The more you listen, then it's growing, it's growing. The lust is growing to the point where now fornication becomes a necessity, because it's like the forces are now empowered in you that they are pushing you to go and do it. The adultery, the thoughts of it is forcing you, because the songs you've listened, the music videos you've watched. So these are the dangers that as adults, parents, youth, whatever, whoever, we have to understand that if even these effects are strong on adults and the youth, how much more the children? So if we don't cut them off these things and they get exposed to it at a younger age, then we are in trouble. Because, you know, a child, even adults struggle to overcome some of these things. So much more a child who gets exposed to these demonic things early. And that's how come you read news in the West, and even in Ghana, we've started having those news where young children are doing the extreme things. You wonder why, where did they learn it from? And what came over them? They are picking it from these areas, which we are ignoring that it doesn't matter. So music videos are showing in the house, and song after song, they are all filthy. The girls are shaking their waist, shaking their waist, shaking their waist. And the children are watching. The seeds of lust is being sown in them. So don't be surprised if 10-year-olds, now they want to fornicate. They start fornicating and they are doing things. And it's like, where did they learn it from? Where did they hear it from and all that? The music videos. Because, see, those dances in those music videos, they are intentionally being done to send the signals of lust. But this is where Christians, we miss it. We downplay so many things, and it's like, oh, but this, it doesn't matter. It's just music video. But the children are watching these things, and the signals, the seeds are entering. You see, we are talking as Christians, so we should understand the spiritual aspect of things. Let me read Ephesians chapter 6. Okay, 13. No, no, 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." For who? For we Christians. "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world." They are rulers of the darkness of this world. The darkness, these music videos, the filthy music songs, and all, they are all darkness in this world. And they are rulers of that over these things. They are powers over these things, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You see, so as Christians, we should get this fundamental, we should get these things as the basics of our Christianity, that we are in warfare and we are dealing with powers, principalities, rulers of the darkness of this world. And all these entertainment, filthy entertainment things, all fall under the darkness of this world. They are all, they don't glorify God. They cause sin, they incite sin, they promote sin. You see, if you are to look at some lyrics of some songs, I mean, I don't have my time about that. So, but if you are to analyze the lyrics of some of the songs, Shatawale, Stoneboy, and all these popular guys in our system, not even the foreign ones, even here, you analyze some of the lyrics, clearly you know the intent of the lyrics. It's meant to send the signal. Coded, some are coded words. But you see, the effect is still the same. If you send a coded message, it's like an encrypted message. Eventually, it will be decrypted. The demon will decrypt it for you in your mind. So, you don't need to talk about or say fornication directly in the song. But there's a way they will say it, proverbial way. And all the listeners, those who listen to those type of songs and enjoy it, they know that you are talking about fornication. So, though you've not mentioned the word fornication, the listener who is discerning enough understands the coded message that you've said. You see, so when they are describing all these things in songs, like proverbs and coded messages and all, the impact is still the same. So it's not, and that is exactly what they are using all these means. The devil is a deceiver. With now he's operating with a corrupted wisdom, which now makes it even more worrying and deadly, because wisdom that is corrupted indeed can be used in a real negative way. And that's exactly the effect of what we are seeing. That's exactly what we are seeing. And in summarizing all this, parents need to be careful. We, even as adults, the things we listen to, we have to be very careful. We need to be careful. Let's create the right atmosphere in our homes, in our cars, wherever we find ourselves. Let's create the right atmosphere. Because you see, the atmosphere you create around you, the children will automatically fall in love and learn it. You see, if you are in the house where every morning worship song is being played, no, my little boy, the last one, sometimes I call him, you are the DJ, you should. So in the morning, he should go and put the pen drive in the TV and play. You know, sometimes he forgets or he's busy or like they are late to school or something. So, but you see, they enjoy it and they are used to it, because that's the song. These are the songs we play at home. I mean, I don't have any of these funny characters that songs, no. And assuming I'm to even decide that, hey, today let me play Shatawale or any of these funny guys, I can imagine what the children will say. "Hey, daddy, this song you told us is not good, though." And you know, children, I mean, that day it will be difficult to answer them, because
they would really take me to the Supreme Court and grill me with questions, because after all the things I've taught them over the years, in growing apart and now, the things I said they shouldn't do, now I want to do it. How do I justify it? You see, so let's create the right atmosphere. Let the children understand the importance of these things and the benefits of it. When you have a spirit-filled atmosphere, it's for your own good. It makes Christianity easier for you. You see, but when you entangle yourself in these carnal songs and worldly songs and lustful songs, the children will eventually, they'll be destroyed faster than you thought. Oh, yeah, they would deteriorate morally at a very fast rate, because the lyrics, it will amaze you that the lyrics you don't hear, they would hear it. They will hear it and understand it, and it will start manipulating them. Time is fast spent. Issues of Life is the program. Let me end it here. I would upload it to spiritissues.info and then to the Telegram group, the Spirit Issues group. I'll upload it there as well. You can get last week's edition there, and I believe you listen to these things and act on them and start putting measures in place to, you know, as a Christian, you shouldn't have any secular music video on your phone, on your laptop, on your TV, pen, on your pen drive. I mean, for what? Delete all of them. Delete, select, control A. That's control all. I mean, copy all, select all of them, and then delete, terminate them. Go to the recycle bin, clear it from there. You don't need any MP3. There are instances, I mean, you pick a Christian's pen drive, you are copying something, and Christian pen drive, Shatawale, Stoneboy, Kiddy, this, that. I mean, come on. How? A Christian pen drive should be containing Domoen, Avin Slaughter, and it's like Oda Miracle. These are the songs you should have on your pen drive as a Christian. You see, if we are Christians, we should be Christians across board, not just Christian in one aspect, and then when it comes to entertainment, that one there, we are not Christians. Like, so we are Christians in other things, but not anything about entertainment. Then what type of Christianity is that? No, we can't. If we are Christ ambassador, you are cross board. An ambassador is an ambassador respective of. So if you are an ambassador for Christ, across, you should live like an ambassador throughout. Thank God for tonight. And I believe you've learned something. God willing, next week, we'll continue this series that we are on, Digital Parenting. Good night and God bless you. This is Eben. Greetings to various people listening in the US and Accra, the Cape Coast, Accra, and other places, Ireland and all. Thank you for listening. Good night.